Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There are now more confirmed coronavirus cases in New York State than in any other entire country in the world outside of the United States. New York, with more than 160,000 cases of the illness and more than 7,000 deaths from the coronavirus by early this morning. President Trump saying he hopes the U.S. economy will open again soon. During a White House briefing, though, Dr. Anthony Fauci said reopening the country needs to be based on public health criteria.
Often people say reopen the government like it's a light switch that goes on and off of the entire country. We have a very large country with really different patterns of disease and outbreaks in different parts of the country.
Severe weather expected in the Mid-South over Easter weekend. Heavy storms are predicted from Texas to Tennessee. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
What's the easiest way to eat a lot of fruits and vegetables? Balance of Nature. By simply removing the water and air, Balance of Nature can take 31 whole fruits and vegetables and put them into quick and easy to eat capsules. With just 3 fruit capsules and 3 veggie capsules, you get the equivalent of over 10 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. That's a lot of stored energy that your body will love. So if you're looking for an easier way to get clean energy, go to balanceofnature.com and order your bottles of sunshine today. Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order of fruits and veggies. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
As the Trump administration discusses getting the U.S. economy to open up again as soon as May after the coronavirus pandemic, Walmart CEO Doug McMillon says it'll certainly take a group effort to make that happen, involving government, business, and the American worker. Another message the CEO of Walmart had for America: stop hoarding toilet paper.
In the last 5 days, we've sold enough toilet paper for every American to have their own roll just in 5 days. So there's plenty of flow coming, but if everyone could just kind of manage and buy week to week rather than stocking up at this point, it'd be helpful for everybody.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi warning President Trump against opening the country too soon before the outbreak is in full retreat. Pelosi said in Politico that she hopes the scientific community would weigh in. She says so far the data she's seen weighs against reopening the country sooner rather than later. Find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Phil. The new coronavirus called COVID-19 is spreading in China and beyond. While CDC is working to stop the spread of the virus, we can all play a role in stopping this deadly disease. The CDC Foundation is a nonprofit organization supporting emergency response efforts in the United States and around the world. To get updates and learn how to protect friends and loved ones, find out how to help by going to cdcfoundation.org.
New York City is reportedly turning to mass graves as the COVID-19 pandemic continues there. Various media outlets have shown drone footage of coffins being buried in a mass grave on Hart Island, where people with no next of kin are often buried. Burial operations on the island have reportedly increased from one day a week to 5 days a week since the pandemic began. About 7,000 people have died of COVID-19 in New York so far. Worried about paying student loan bills in the midst of this pandemic? Well, President Trump made an announcement yesterday of interest to you. Payments will be waived for 6 months as the nation combats COVID-19. And if things haven't gotten substantially better in 6 months' time, the president said that he'd be open to discussions about possibly extending it, adding it might go further. Tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of the launch of Apollo 13. Just 2 days into that ill-fated mission, an oxygen tank exploded on board. When it did, Commander Jim Lovell famously radioed back to Earth,
"Houston, we have a problem."
Only that's Tom Hanks playing Jim Lovell. In real life, Lovell said, "Houston, we've had a problem." The crew then abandoned the lunar module and looped around the moon to safely get back to Earth, splashing down in the Pacific on April 17, 1970. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, here I am, America. Good to have you with us. Happy Good Friday to you. I hope it's a great one, and this is turning out to be the best Lent ever for you, all things considered. I mean, hey, it's Passover, a holy week, and a time for us to pause for, you know, just, well, for more than a moment, really, when you think about it. Because, you know, Christ was on the cross for 3 hours, and all that he endured, you know, leading up to that, was most incredible. And as you'll be hearing a little bit later on, one of my all-time favorite sermons from Tony Campolo is there was so much to consider about Friday and how bleak it looked. You know, I had a conversation, and I want to bring Bill Feder on with us here right now. Hey, Bill, how you doing, buddy?
Bill, great to be with you.
Yeah, I just was telling a story that I had a chance to talk with Senator Tim Scott yesterday. And he was, I stopped him a little bit because I told him, I said, you know, Tim, I've grown to become what you call a but God Christian. He laughed. He goes, but God, what do you mean? I said, well, because the Bible always talks about, you know, these pernicious times and events that happen, you know, even like Good Friday. You hear all this bad news that's happening. Christ had come and even his disciples, apostles thought, God, he was supposed to be the reigning king. And just come in and just, you know, kick butt, take names, you know, tell Rome where to go and all that. But it didn't work out the way they thought because God had a grander plan. And they say, but God. And I said, that's what I found in my Christian walk, is that you have those moments that you can despair over and think, wow, it's the end of the world. And here comes but God. So I said, my experience has taught me to become what I call a but God Christian. He kind of chuckled over it. He says, I'm going to take that from you. He says, I will give you credit 3 times, but after that, it's mine. I said, well, that's the standard, isn't it? So,
I love it. That's tremendous.
Well, you know, historically, Bill, and I know you've researched this, and I just so appreciate, you know, the gift that God has blessed you with to have such a command of history and events and that. And you are so vital, you know, to our listeners and to those who follow you, because you help us remember, you know, the important things. And that is our history. It is so rich. It is what allows us, as I said to a group of Tea Partiers a couple of weeks ago, you know, we can learn a lot from Donald Trump. And one of the things that I appreciate from him is how he sits in the truth. Nothing wavers him, no matter what the media says, no matter what power politician or even international figure might say. When Donald Trump says something and he's sitting in the truth, that's where he sits. And I think we can learn a lot from that example, don't you think?
I do. I think he's amazing. The forces that are against him, and every day he keeps standing up for what's right and pro-life and God in our country. And yeah, so we definitely keep him in our prayers and ask everyone in the country to keep him in our prayers. And when you think of the possibility of what the alternative would be, we would have a totalitarian government by now. Yeah. So I am hopeful, and Easter is a hopeful season. And, you know, one of the things, if I could, is just to explain the reason that Jesus had to die. You know, it's my favorite way to explain the gospel. Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve sinned and hid from God. And the thought is, have you ever sinned against anybody? You sort of don't want to be around the person you've sinned against. You know, you stole money from them. You're talking about them behind their back. You're joking about them. And you look up and there's that very person walking toward you. Question, are you drawn to want to go over to that person? Or like, oh, great, I'm embarrassed. I think I want to slip out the side door. Your conscience does not want you to be around the person you've sinned against.
Exactly.
And so it's sort of like two magnets that are stuck together, and one of the magnets turns. The first one still wants to touch, but the second one just wants to repel. So it's not so much that God sends people to hell. It's once people sin against God, it's their own consciences that make them want to get away from God. And so when Adam and Eve sinned, they hid. And then they realized, man, we blew it. We have to do something to make ourselves acceptable to God. They put on fig leaves. That was the beginning of false religions. Man coming up with man's idea how to make man acceptable to God. Did the fig leaves work? No. And this little line, God made Adam and Eve coats of skins. We read it really fast, but if you think of it, how do you make a coat of skin? Something has to die.
Exactly.
You think God went to the other side of the garden, killed an animal, and brought Adam and Eve some nice tailored outfits? Or do you think maybe he killed the animal right in front of them, and they witnessed the first death ever? Right? According to the Bible account, this is creation just happened. This is the first thing ever to die. And Adam and Eve are watching this innocent animal go through the pangs of dying. And they're thinking to themselves, we're the ones that sinned, but this innocent animal is the one that's dying. Mm-hmm. And God wanted to make it really clear the animal was dying in their place, that right in front of them, he strips the skin off the animal and he puts it on their naked bodies. Maybe it still had a little blood on it, right? They were covered in the blood. And so for the rest of their lives, they are wearing the skin of that animal that they watched die in their place. And whenever God sees Adam and Eve, he sees them clothed with the skin of the animal, the lamb slain from the foundations of the world. And so Adam and Eve tell Cain and Abel. Cain decides he wants to worship God, but he does an offshoot of the Church of the Fig Leaf. He starts the Church of the Fruits and the Nuts. Cain's is a religion of works. And we know it's works because God told Adam, the ground is cursed for your sake and you will bring forth fruit by the sweat of your brow. So here's Cain sweating and hoeing and harvesting, and he piles all of his works on the altar. Did his works make him acceptable to God? No. And Abel did the lamb thing. And it's this picture, God's on one side, we're on the other side. Our sins separate us from God, and the lamb pays for the sin. And so Abraham offered lambs. Noah offered lambs when he got off the ark. The high priest, you know, Moses had every family kill a lamb and put the blood over the doorposts of their house so the angel of death would pass over. The high priest brought the blood of the lamb into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. The blood actually changed it from a judgment seat into a mercy seat. And then finally, John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. So God's on one side, we're on the other side, our sins separate us from God, and the Lamb pays for the sin. So I ask people, are you approaching God as Cain or as Abel? If you're still hoping you're good enough to go to heaven, you're approaching God as Cain. I hope I piled enough stuff on the altar. Maybe a couple more handfuls of barley, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Or are you approaching God as Abel? It's not me, it's this lamb that paid for my sin.
And a little bit later on in that chapter, God says something quite significant and profound that I believe just screams at us through the millennial, Bill. And that is that in talking and giving a little bit of a pep talk to Cain, he still loves Cain, even though he's rejected his sacrifice. He loves him enough to tell him, that, look it, if you do right, will it not go well for you? That is a powerful admonition that speaks to us even today, does it not?
Well, it does, and I hear the music in the background. But
yeah, we've got 15 seconds, so if you got a 15-second wrap, we'll pick it up, okay? Better yet.
When we come back, I have a way of explaining why Jesus had to die in the first place, and it's fascinating.
Stay with us. We got more.
She used to play hide-and-seek in your backyard. Now, she's getting married in it. So when you see a bare spot, you need something that patches it fast. Pennington One Step Complete has a revolutionary formula that repairs bare spots in only 2 weeks or less. Pennington has been trusted since 1945, and now it works even faster. One Step Complete from Pennington. Honest green. Get your lawn ready for any occasion. Head to your local retailer to pick up One Step Complete.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. The great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they can help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40. 855-SHARE-40.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
You've reached Bill Martinez live.
It's Friday, and my Jesus was dead on the cross. But that's because it was Friday. Sunday's coming. Somebody yelled, keep going, preacher, keep going. That's all he needed, baby. He took off. Friday, he's saying, as things have been, so they shall be. You cannot change anything in this world. But they don't know. It's only Friday, bud.
Bill Martinez. Martinez live.
Hey, even if the churches are closed, it's not going to stop Sunday from coming, let me tell you. Hey, the word for the day, fugacious, okay? That means, and very appropriately, especially if we're talking about COVID-19, it's fleeting, tending to disappear, believe it or not. Fugacious, good word for the day. And Bill was telling me, Bill Fetter, who's with us, the best-selling author and historian, he was sharing with us that when he was in New York, he picked up COVID-19. Actually, Bill, you're the second person I've spoken with, a gal from Taiwan, an attorney. I spoke with her, and you. So number two COVID patient. So hey, look at thank God you and the family are doing well. You're staying healthy. You're on the other side, and you feel like you've resurrected, right? Bill, are you there? Did we lose him?
No, 6 days with a normal temperature. I'm thankful to be alive.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank God. Thank God you're fine. Who knows? Maybe you're part of the solution going forward. Help us come up with a vaccine here, Bill. So we'll have to wait and see. Anyway, before we went to break, you started to tell us that Jesus had to die. Jesus had to go to the cross. And I like what one pastor had said, Bill. I like this. You know, often today, colloquially, we refer to the heart as in the heart sign as being the symbol of love. And what he said, actually, when you really think about it, it's the cross that is the true symbol of love. God's agape love, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I normally talk history, and 98% of the country at the time of the founding was Protestant, 1% Catholic, 0.1% Jewish. Then there's an Irish potato famine. Catholic percent goes from 1% to 20%. Even in the 1940s, 98% of the country identified itself as Christian. The Pew Religious Landscape Survey that does, you know, the analysis of the religious demographics, in the last 20 years, we've gone from 94% down to 65% Christian. So we're on a definite downward trend because we gave up the public schools. But anyway, so we have a Christian heritage in America. So it totally makes sense. We're talking Easter, the most important day on the Christian calendar. And then the idea of why did Jesus have to die in the first place? The answer is God is a just God. He cannot help it. He is a just God. Everything is rules. He makes the universe. It goes on rules of physics, rules of laws of gravity, laws of planetary motion. He's a God of law. Sort of like you can build a computer program, and you have the machine code, and then you have the DOS, and then you have the Windows, and you have all these apps, and everything builds upon it, but every single layer has to follow rules. And so God created all of creation. It all follows rules. The only difference is mankind has the choice as to whether or not we're going to follow God's rules, but he's still a God of rules. Anyway, this has been implanted in us because we're made in his image, that every single police drama you see on TV, like NCIS, starts off with an injustice done in the first 2 minutes, and you are, you know, some innocent person's killed, and you are held captive the rest of the hour wanting the person that did it to be caught and brought to justice. There's just something in you that knows there has to be justice. And so in the first 2 minutes of the book of Genesis, an injustice is done. Cain kills Abel. And God says to Cain, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. What was it crying? An injustice is done. Innocent guy killed. You're a just God. You have to judge the guy that did it. And so that's the only side of God that the devil knew. Here's Lucifer, beautiful angel, puffed up with pride, wants to put his throne higher than the throne of God. God said, you've sinned against me. You're judged. You're out of here. And so the devil goes into the garden, sees Adam and Eve, and says, hey, if I can get them to sin against God one time, God will have to judge him. And so he gets them to sin. That was pretty easy. And he stands back and says, you're a just God. You have to judge him. If you don't judge them, your silence equals consent. Mm. In other words, remember the old wedding ceremonies where the pastor says, anyone against
the speak now or forever hold. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, and so if you're sitting in the congregation being silent, your silence is giving consent to the wedding. So if there are sins and God is not judging them and he's silent, he's effectively giving consent to sin. And if God gives consent to sin, he is no longer a just God.
Exactly.
So his very nature drives him to have to judge. And so here, Adam and Eve sinned. God sends his fireball of judgment, but in steps the lamb and takes the hit. So God is just in that he judges every sin, but he's love in that he provided the lamb to take the judgment for the sin. And I love the story of Abraham taking Isaac to the top of Mount Moriah to sacrifice him. And Isaac says, Dad, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham says, Son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And there's two ways to read that. Well, God will provide a sacrifice, you know, the ram and the bush, or God will provide himself as the sacrifice. In other words, all those Old Testament sacrifices are foreshadowing Jesus. And so here's Jesus. You know, I was reading the book of Revelation, and it has all these judgments poured out, and it's God that's pouring out the vials of judgment. And the angels say, righteous and true are your judgments, O Lord. Why? Once and for all, God has to settle the score and judge every sin that he missed along the way so that for the rest of eternity, there is no more judgment. So this is the final judgment. But in that sense, Jesus had the book of Revelation judgment poured out on his head. He took the judgment for every sin that everybody would ever do upon himself on the cross. And it says, a day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day. Jesus experienced that day on the cross as if it was a thousand years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think of it as a scale, an eternal being who is innocent, suffering for a finite period of time, finite means limited, right, the 3 days, mm-hmm. An eternal being who's innocent, suffering for a finite period of time, is equal to all the finite beings who are guilty, suffering for an eternal period of time. Let me say that again. An eternal being who's innocent, suffering for a finite period of time, is equal to all the finite beings who are guilty, suffering for an eternal period of time. Infinity times finite equals finite times infinity. Jesus literally suffered the equivalent of eternal damnation in all of our places. He took the judgment of God upon us, and so God is just in that he judges every sin, but he's love in that he provided himself, Jesus, the Son of God, to become the Lamb to take the judgment for the sin. So that's why we approach God through the Lamb. That's right. We celebrate right. Jesus rising from the dead, because all the judgment we deserve has been judged upon him. We approach God through the blood of the Lamb. Our sins are forgiven. And as long as you think your relationship with God is based on you being good enough, you will always have this nagging thought in the back of your head. Did I do enough?
Yeah, there's never
and
enough.
That very thought will keep you away. Because deep in your conscience, you know you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But once you put all your faith that Jesus literally paid for all of your sins, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed you from your transgressions, he's thrown all your sins in the depths of the sea. Once you truly believe that, it's like, really, it's been paid for? Yes, it's all been paid for. It's all been paid for. Your magnet flips around. Your polarity changes. And instead of you avoiding God, you're immediately drawn into his presence.
Exactly. Because as much as God is a just God, he's also a redeeming God. He told the children of Israel before they took over the promised land, he said, look, you guys are going to mess up. He says, but I have a remedy for you. And, of course, the ultimate remedy was paid for us on Good Friday with the crucifixion of the Holy Lamb. And that deal was sealed upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ, was it not?
Amen. Amen.
Well, what a good God. Yeah, and we got to leave. Go ahead. 10 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, once you come to the Lord, his magnetism overpowers you, and then you reach out to a lost and dying world, and it's not you doing it, it's him doing it through you. So
Amen.
Instead of you doing the good works trying to earn favor with God, it's him doing the good works through you by his Spirit.
Well, Bill Feder, happy Easter to you and your family.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There are now more confirmed coronavirus cases in New York State than in any other entire country in the world outside of the United States. New York, with more than 160,000 cases of the illness and more than 7,000 deaths from the coronavirus by early this morning. President Trump saying he hopes the U.S. economy will open again soon. During a White House briefing, though, Dr. Anthony Fauci said reopening the country needs to be based on public health criteria.
Often people say reopen the government like it's a light switch that goes on and off of the entire country. We have a very large country with really different patterns of disease and outbreaks in different parts of the country.
Severe weather expected in the Mid-South over Easter weekend. Heavy storms are predicted from Texas to Tennessee. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, welcome back, America. Fresh and independent. We are 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Last time Dr. Greg Smalley and I got on the air together, we got ourselves in a lot of trouble. I think our wives put us on timeout. But it wasn't our fault. It was Aaron's fault. She set us up, Greg. You know that, right?
I know. She does that all the time.
Now, did she? You didn't play the MP3 for us so she could hear how two male knuckleheads were talking about sex.
No way.
Oh, good. Man, I'm telling you, my wife is interesting because with her, and I don't know if Aaron's the same way, my wife, I'll try and talk to her directly. We'll be in the same room, you know, even in this environment of coronavirus. We watch our social distancing. But we can be in the same room and I talk to her, she can't hear me. Now, I can be in another room, door closed, talking to you, and I heard what you said.
I know, the miracles of selective hearing. Yeah,
it's a mystery. I tell people all the time, it's like Velveeta cheese. I don't understand Velveeta cheese either. Maybe when we get to heaven, God will say, "Okay, Bill, come here, and we're going to explain Velveeta cheese to you once and for all."
And selective hearing. Yeah, he'll help us out someday.
Exactly. Dr. Greg Smalley is with us. He's the Vice President of Marriage and Family Formation with Focus on the Family. And I always love it when Greg comes on because we get to be two guys and just regular guys talking life, talking marriage. And the topic today is being married to someone who doesn't share your faith. And, boy, I got to tell you, that's got to especially be tough in this season of Passover and Easter.
It really is, because this is such a time as believers, as Christ followers, to really celebrate that sacrifice that he made so that we can have eternal life. And so this is the Super Bowl. This is when we all get together and just celebrate that victory, knowing we know the outcome. We've won.
Right.
And yet for many couples, they don't share faith, or maybe a spouse has walked away. Mm-hmm. And I even know in my own marriage, you know, Aaron and I are both believers in follow Christ, and yet there was a season to where a dear friend had cancer, and I just had watched for about 6 months of just prayers, just thousands of people praying for her healing, to where I just felt, you know, God, I mean, you don't have a choice here. You say that when we pray that we'll get that, and when she passed away, it just really took me into a bad place spiritually. It's not that I quit believing in God. It's just I didn't get prayer, and it was so confusing, and I so I was stuck. And so Aaron and I have experienced that when one person is just feeling close to the Lord, where I was just feeling so distant, so confused, and it just put such a strain between them. She would, you know, she would reach over and grab my hand and say, "Hey, pray for me." I wasn't in a
place empty
that I wanted to do that. Empty, yeah. Absolutely. And so I know that there are many couples going through that this weekend.
A little bit of that story that you relayed reminds us of Jeremy Camp's current story that was, you know, on the big screen, of course, interrupted by the virus, but you can stream it online, the movie I Still Believe, and the story of he and his first wife, and everybody praying, and it looked like there was healing there and that sort of thing. And, you know, at times we will experience, in fact, I realized this with a recent pope, so nobody's immune from having what we would call a crisis of faith, right?
Right. And I think looking back, Aaron and I talked about this. I mean, I was able to work through that and I just kind of, I eventually just said, you know what, God, I believe in you. Christ, I believe in you. I'll understand how prayer works exactly. Explain it to me someday. But otherwise, I believe in you in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And yet looking back, I think some of the things that stood out is that, Aaron continued to build her own relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so within a marriage, we are responsible as individuals for our relationship with the Lord. That's not my responsibility to make sure Aaron has, you know, a deep faith, and vice versa. And so I think for someone whose spouse is not a believer, you know, I think there's often such a feeling of responsibility that I've got to be the one to say the right words or to convince him or her that they need to become a believer. And I think it's always important that we remember that that's really not our responsibility. That's God.
Exactly.
And he has this person, and he is, you know, he left the 99 to pursue the one. He is relentlessly pursuing our spouse. Now, I think it's our job then that we live a life that's reflected that Christ makes a difference in our life. I think that's our responsibility.
Yeah, if we put our efforts in that area as opposed to trying to convert somebody, that's the Holy Ghost's job. You know, we're in the wrong lane. You know, Greg, I'm so glad that you're vulnerable to bring this up, you know, because that was my thought. Within marriage, within the context of marriage, Christian marriages, you know, we run the spectrum. We ebb, we flow, you know, at a time when she's high on Jesus, you're low on Jesus.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is where God talks about the institution of marriage and why it's so important is that you complete one another. So at the time when you're low and her high, it matches up and brings you, encourages you through that season of lowness. And in those victories like that, you come away and you go, you know, Aaron, I don't know how to tell you how much I love you, that you were there to bring me out of this valley, to be a light in the shadow of death that I was enduring.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that verse that we are to carry each other's burdens.
Mm.
But I like before that where we're being told that each is responsible for their own load. The
yes.
load is something like a, think of it like a backpack.
Mm-hmm.
We all have stressors and worries, and And that's our responsibility to go to the Lord, to work those things out, to take care of ourselves. But a burden would be like not a backpack, but like a steamer trunk that you're trying to haul around, something that you just can't do.
Right, under 40 foot of water.
Right. Yeah, that's when as a spouse, like that's when Erin came alongside of me, and she helped me carry that burden. She gave me grace. She prayed for me. She encouraged me, and she gave me space. She's like, you know, I love you. I know you. I know God's got this between you two. I'm gonna let you guys work it out. And there was never a moment that she felt responsible, but I loved how she joined me. She helped carry that burden and just trusted in God's faithfulness that he and I would get to a good place. And so,
exactly.
You know, the illusion is, well, as Christians, we get married and we're going to have this amazing, you know, deep spiritual intimacy. And there are seasons that is very true, but there are going to be seasons where we struggle. And you know what? We honor our marriage. I don't care where your spouse is spiritually. If they've walked away from the faith or they never had a faith to begin with, that you honor your marriage. God gave
exactly.
us free will to choose. You chose. So you honor that marriage. You keep growing. You get good support. And you celebrate your faith. You celebrate Easter with passion.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it's painful, but again, let God continue to pursue your spouse, because he is.
Greg, you know, the thing that's always interesting about the male-female dynamic is that a woman, it's a little bit easier, I think, in their design to kind of let you work that out with God. Guys, we want to fix it.
Yeah.
We're fixers. And you know, we get ourselves in more trouble, you know, for doing that. And I'm sure God looks down and just kind of chuckles. And, oh, God, there he is, trying to be that little God guy again. thank God that too passes. But, and especially, you know, what we hear a lot in testimonies of people, whether it's male or female, who will say when their spouse comes to believe, what I hear consistently is the other spouse is always looking.
Yeah.
They're seeing and checking to see, is this authentic, or, you know, she or is he just playing a game on me, or is this really real, right?
Right, that is. So let's reflect the difference that Christ makes in God, worry about the rest.
And especially in this Easter and Passover season. Greg, for you and the girls and Erin, we wish you the holiest and the best of Easter. As God once again proves to all of us that he is a redeeming God. For those that are looking for a sign, let me tell you, the sign is there's an empty tomb.
Yep.
Still to this day, right?
Amen.
This report is sponsored by Daiichi Sankyo and AstraZeneca. An estimated 155,000 Americans are currently living with metastatic breast cancer, meaning it has spread from its original location to other parts of the body. 1 in 5 breast cancers are HER2 positive. Despite treatment advances, the disease is considered incurable, and patients may eventually progress on treatment. More options have been urgently needed. Now there's a new treatment available. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, recently granted accelerated approval for Enhertu, fan-trastuzumab deruxtecan, NXKI, a HER2-directed antibody drug conjugate for the treatment of adult patients with unresectable or metastatic HER2-positive breast cancer who have received 2 or more prior anti-HER2 regimens in the metastatic setting. Enhertu is approved under accelerated approval based on tumor response rate and duration of response. Continued approval for this indication may be contingent upon verification and description of clinical benefit in a confirmatory trial. This new medicine is in a class of targeted therapies called antibody drug conjugates, or ADCs, that are designed to selectively deliver chemotherapy inside cancer cells. Ion E. Krop, MD, PhD, Associate Chief of Breast Oncology, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, commented,
"With this approval, we now have a drug available that may benefit patients in whom other drugs had stopped working."
Enhertu can cause serious side effects, including lung problems that may be severe, life-threatening, or that may lead to death, low levels of a type of white blood cell called neutrophils that can lead to serious infections, and heart problems that may affect your heart's ability to pump blood. Enhertu can cause harm to an unborn baby when administered to a pregnant woman. The most common side effects of Enhertu include nausea, feeling tired, vomiting, hair loss, constipation, decreased appetite, low red blood cell counts, low white blood cell counts, diarrhea, cough, and low platelet counts. Visit Enhertu.com for additional important safety information and full prescribing information, including boxed warning and medication guide.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Joy to the world. Be risen. Hallelujah. He's risen. Hallelujah. He's risen. Hallelujah.
Join us online at Bill Martinez live.
So now in over 260 markets across this country, thank you so much for partnering up with us and maintaining your commitment to do what it takes to get this country back on track. It is Good Friday, and as is tradition here on Bill Martinez Live, I have to share with you probably one of my favorite sermons from Tony Campolo. An American sociologist, pastor, author, public speaker, former spiritual advisor to U.S. President Bill Clinton. He's known as one of the most influential leaders in the evangelical left. He's been a major proponent of progressive thought and reform within the evangelical community. We're going to listen to a special a recount of a sermon that he was exposed to after giving a sermon himself. There in Pennsylvania. Here's Tony Campolo.
I belong to an African-American church because living in West Philadelphia, as I have over the years, my church lost all of its members as the community changed racially. Black people moved in and the white people moved out. And when the church was about to close, my father said, well, we've got to find another church. And the nearest Baptist church, because we're Baptist, was African-American. So we went there, Mount Carmel Baptist Church. And old Dr. Hubbard would have us do this preach-off once a year. And white people don't even know what they are. You get about six, seven preachers, and you preach back-to-back. It goes on and on and on for hours. And you know how you're doing in my church. One time I was preaching in my church and nothing much was happening. I knew I was dying on my feet, and some lady on the last row yelled, "Help him, Jesus! Help him, Jesus!" And I knew my sermon wasn't going over well. Likewise in my church, when you're really pumping on all cylinders, the deacons sit right up front, right underneath the pulpit. And every time you say something good, the deacons yell, "Preach, brother. Preach, preach. You know, I would do great if I just could take my deacons with me anywhere, because they encourage you beyond words when you're preaching.
Yeah.
And the women in my church, they put one hand in the air and they go, well, that's all they do. Well, you get 67 women going, well, every time you say something good,
yeah,
your hormones bubble.
Oh, that can move something.
That's right. And the men in my church, when you're really delivering the word, or as they say, have gotten down, they'll stand up and yell, keep going. Keep going, baby. Keep going. Keep going. They'll stand up and point at you and yell at them. I don't get that from white people.
Yeah.
White people look at their watches and say, stop, stop. But in my church, it goes the other way. Well, we were having our preach-off. There were seven of us preaching back-to-back, and it was my turn. And I don't want to brag, but I was good. And the people were yelling, well, and preach, and keep going, and I feed on that. Mm-hmm. The more they did it, the better I got. The better I got, the more they did it. I want to tell you, I got so good, I wanted to take notes on me. When I finished, that place exploded. There was cheering and clapping. I sat down. My pastor hit my knee. He said, you did all right. You did all right. I said, Pastor Eggert, you're next. Are you going to be able to top that?
How do you follow that up?
Yeah, he said, son, sit back. Because the old man is going to do you in. I didn't think anybody could do it that day.
Yeah.
That sucker got up, and he did me in with one line over and over again. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Doesn't sound like much, but you weren't there. He started off nice and soft. It was Friday, and the Satan seemed to be in control. Jesus was dead on the cross, but that's because it was Friday. Sunday's coming. Friday. Friday, people are saying, as things have been, so they shall be. You can't change things in this world, but they don't know. It's only Friday, he yelled. Sunday's coming, and people are going, preach, keep going. And Friday, Friday, they're saying darkness is everywhere, and hopelessness and despair is ruling the world. But I'm here to give you the good news. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming, and people are cheering like mad by this time. He went on and on. Friday, Sunday's coming. Friday, Sunday's coming. He got to the end of that sermon, and he just yelled at the top of his lungs, Friday! Without hesitation, that whole congregation yelled back, Sunday's coming! And that's the good news. As much as there is despair in the air, as much as it seems as though we're losing ground to the forces of darkness, I've got good news. And it's the good news of my pastor. It may look like everything's lost, but it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. We've got a God who can turn things around.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Tony Campolo, Professor Emeritus of Sociology in Pennsylvania. Dr. Tony, the kingdom of God, that's what Jesus preached.
Yeah, it's, you know, if Jesus had to reduce his message to a soundbite, that would be it. The first words out of his mouth in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the first words are, I have come to declare that the kingdom of God is at hand. You can't have the kingdom without kingdom people. Sometimes mainline churches forget that. They want to change the world, but they have forgotten that before you can change the world, you've got to change people. The kingdom of God is transformed people living in a transformed society. It's a society in which government, in which the economic system, in which the educational system, the recreational system, all things function in accord with the will of God. But you're not going to have that kind of society unless people themselves are transformed. And there are a lot of characteristics of the kingdom of God. One is justice for the poor and the oppressed. That people's economic needs are met. That people are not seduced by a consumeristic society. But there's a big theme that I preach a great deal. And that is the kingdom of God is also a party. And I'm sure you were going to drive to that.
Right. That's what I... Well, you know, hey, Jesus knows how to party. I mean, after all, and like you said, the stage is set. I mean, we're reminded in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, everything operating in the rhyme and reason that God intended it to be. What more could you want?
I want you to add one more thing.
Okay.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.
Yes.
The kingdom already exists in heaven. God's will is done up there. The question is, does he have a people? And are you and I willing to become some of those people who will work to see that his will is done on earth as it is in heaven? We dare not pray for the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. We dare not pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven unless we ourselves are willing to submit ourselves to that end. When I say party, every time there's a response to the gospel, it's party time. You think of Zacchaeus, the little man. Everybody hated Zacchaeus because he was a tax collector that ripped people off. Jesus comes marching down Main Street, and the crowds line the sidewalks, and they push little Zacchaeus, he's a shirt guy, into the background. And you know the song from Daily Vacation Bible School. He climbs up in the sycamore tree, for he wanted his Lord to see. At last, the Savior came walking by, and he yells, "Yo, Zach, come on down. We're going to your house today. We're going to have a party." So the next time they ask you, "What time is it?" you say, "It's party time." And it's the same with the prodigal son. Remember the boy that takes half of his father's money and goes off and spends it in riotous living, ends up feeding the pigs. You know what that meant in the Israeli world, in the Jewish world, to feed pigs. And he would love to have the slop that the pigs are eating. And he says, "I don't have to put up with this. There are guys that work on my father's farm that live well. I know what I'll do. I'll go home and I'll ask my father for a job on the farm." Well, if you're going to go home after blowing half of your father's income, you'd better rehearse your speech. And all the way home, the kid's rehearsing it. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of your hired servants." The Bible says, and the father saw him when he was a long way off and runs out and throws his arms around his son. And the son starts the speech. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee." The father's not listening. "Go. Go and get some clothes. This kid's in rags." The son's saying, "I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Harry, get a ring. Put it on his finger. Bill, go out behind the barn and there's a fat calf. Kill that sucker. I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Knock it off, son. You're home. We're going to have a party." So the next time you ask what time it is, you as a Christian ought to say it's party time.
Party time.
Jesus says whenever anyone comes to know him as Lord and Savior, that the angels in heaven have a party, celebrate. The kingdom of God is marked by celebration and joy. To become a Christian is not to be some deadhead, boring person, but to come alive in the joy of what God is doing in the lives of people who surrender to him and in the world that is being transformed by those people.
Amen. Dr. Tony, it seems like the signs that we're talking about are coming soon and very soon these days.
Yes, and we need to look at both sides. Jesus, when he talked about the end times, gave a wonderful parable. He said it's like this. The kingdom of God is likened unto a man who plants wheat in the field. He sows wheat seeds. And the wheat begins to grow. And the evil one comes and sows tares or weeds. And the weeds begin to grow alongside of the tares. And the servants come to the master and say, "What should we do? Pull up the weeds?" He said, "You can't do that without destroying the wheat. Let the two grow up together. And come the harvest, we will separate the wheat from the tares, and the tares, the weeds, shall be thrown into the flames." The point of the story is clear. The tares, which Jesus specifically says represents the kingdom of evil, is growing stronger and stronger every day. You can't pick up the newspaper without being aware that evil has never been more prominent, that corruption is never more evident, that the denigration of the evil one is everywhere at hand. And it's enough to discourage anybody, except that Jesus reminds us that not only are the tares growing, not only are the weeds growing, but the wheat is also growing, which is the kingdom of God. In short, the kingdom of evil has never been stronger or more evident than it is today, but neither has the kingdom of God.
Amen. Dr. Tony Campolo, alumnus, professor emeritus of sociology at Eastern University in Pennsylvania. My prayer this Good Friday for you is that whatever it is that is your Friday, remember, Sunday is coming.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this. But you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease.
and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Are you afraid to go to